What would happen to our community if everyone in this room decided today, you know what? I'm going to take it to heart. I'm not just going to listen to the messages that have been preached during this series, but I am going to go forward and I am going to allow God to work through me in everything that I do. Everything. I'm going to look at my finances completely different. I'm going to look at how much time I spend at work and how much time I spend with my family different. I'm going to look at how I raise my kids different. I'm going to look at how I do my job different. I'm telling you, people would come to Christ right and left. We got to baptize several guys last weekend, all men. Men. Now, I just want you to know that we didn't baptize any. And a lot of times we'll baptize children, or you'll see teenagers, or, you know, a lot of moms, or, you know, young singles, or whatever. But, like, way up on the charts of people that are not getting baptized today are men. And we baptized men last weekend, just men. It was an amazing thing. One of those men that we baptized came to Christ because other men that work with him began talking to him about their relationship with the Lord. And he saw something different in them. I said, well, Chris, I've heard stories like that before. Why do we just hear about stories like that? Why don't we engage ourselves into stories like that? Why don't we let God do something through us that we know we can't do ourselves? It's faith. We have to have faith that God will work through us. I want to give you just kind of something to chew on here, and this is I'm not talking about just in your life, I'm talking about even in the church here. And that's that we are guilty of wanting to do too much. We're guilty of wanting to do too much. You know what I'm talking about? We have this mentality that if I can show everybody around me that I can do all of these things, they will think more of me. And so built into our nature is this desire to want to really go after it. And we get mixed up and we think, you know, I'm going to go after all of these things at one time. And what winds up happening? It doesn't matter if this is something that you do for your career or if this is something that you do as in ministry at our church. You wind up being less effective at any of them. In fact, most of the time, my experience, and I've worked in churches for a long time, I've seen a lot of people, and I'm just going at the church thing. You can take this to the job place or the house or whatever. But the thing that I have seen so many times is people that have great hearts and willing spirits to serve God, but the thing that they do is they take on so many different tasks that none of them get done well. And you see, that's against Scripture. I don't know if you realize that. And I want you to know that our church, one of the things about our church that I said from the get-go of this, is we didn't want to create these volunteer zombies like I've seen at a lot of churches that I've worked in. These people that, you know, walk the halls in the church and they've got this glazed look over their face because they're working with the kids and they're working with this and they're doing that. And they're just wandering around, and they look dead. And spiritually, a lot of times they are, because they're not being fulfilled with what God created them to do. You see, a part of us serving God is that is an act of worship, but it's an act of worship when we are giving Him our best. This passage of Scripture, in Romans chapter 12, we see something happen that's just an incredible thing. And I think that it's worth noting this morning. And we see the disciples, and this is after Jesus has gone back to be with the Father, and the disciples are hanging out, and they're all doing the thing, and the church is growing, and the ministry is growing. And we know what this is like at 24. We're looking around, scratching our heads, going, okay. Next month, we're probably going to be averaging over 300 people We've done that once. We had over 300 people once, and it was crazy. And especially the kids' areas and different things going on, and just helping people find parking places was a big issue. And these guys come together, and in chapter 12 of the book of Romans, in verse 4, it says this: just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. Imagine that. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You see, if you know Christ, you are meant to be a part of the body of Christ. What is that? That's the local church. This is your chance to be a part of that body. Now, it doesn't mean that you don't have ministry outside of here. I sure hope you do. I hope you have ministry where you work. I hope you have ministry in your home. But the thing that Christ left his bride is the church. And the thing that we have to understand is that we are supposed to be a part of that. We are a member of that. And I don't know, here just the last couple days, and I'm not trying to whine, but I'm just going to share a little something that's been going on with me. My arm's been hurting. Don't call me a whiner. I'm just telling you, it's been hurting, all right? I've been having Aaron, you know, like, work on it every once in a while because it hurts. You see, when one member of the body is not fully functional for what it is meant to do, the whole body suffers. I've suffered the last couple days. Now, it hadn't been too bad. Been able to make it, been okay. But I think a lot of us have got that mentality. You know, that it's okay. It's okay for the church that I go to for me to not serve and be a part of that. It's okay for me to not fulfill the thing that God wants me to do. That's all right. The church will be okay. They'll get by. I won't call. I'll just not show up. I'll just, you know, they'll be fine. Somebody will do my job. You see, we have been designed to be a part of this body. And this is not a guilt trip thing. This is an us understanding that God created us to be a part of something that's bigger than we are. Because, you know, let's face it, we want to think that we're in control. We want to think that it's all us. You know, we got this taken care of. We're good, doing well. You know, I've got this Christian thing down. I'm going to church. We're hearing good messages. We're going home. We're talking about it over the dinner table. That's what we need. No, it's not. You can get on the internet and you can listen to, and I'll give you plenty of pastors that have their junk on the internet just like we do. You can get on the internet and hear plenty of good people, you know, get on there and preach 10 times better than I do. The point is that you are supposed to be a part of a body, a fellowshipping body of believers that you are engaging with in his word, in his understanding, in praying for each other. This is not like something God said, hey, oh, this is just, you know, you can be a part of this if you want to, you don't have to. No, that's not the way God created us. He created us needing community with other believers to build us up. You having a bad time? Your life going downhill? Get involved with a group of believers that can love on you. I'll just be honest with you. My life has not been bad. I have had a wonderful life. But there have been moments in my life when I have really suffered, maybe emotionally, that I just can't even tell you. I can't imagine what my life would have been like if I had not had people around me that loved me and cared for me and prayed for me during those times. One of the worst things in our lives that we can do is to feel lonely. And you know why it feels so bad? It's because it's not supposed to be that way. You know, but we'll, you know, and single person, let me just talk to you for a second. We'll be real great when we're single at trying to make ourselves believe, well, I just need that person that's out there. And that's not the case either, because that person's not going to satisfy this. This is something that God, only he can satisfy. We were created as a part of the body. You here this morning are parts of the body. Some of you may be sore arms. Some of them, you may be something that needs to be amputated. I don't know. I've been there. And let me just say that. I've been there. There have been times when I haven't wanted to do jack squat for the church, if I can just be honest with you. I've been bitter, been angry, somebody said something to me, whatever, get over it. It's time to do what God wants you to do. Verse 6, check this out. It says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. And that's mainly talking about the exhorting of God's word. In verse 7, it says, if it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. Some of you in here, you've got deep pockets. I'm just telling you, this is scripture here talking. I don't have deep pockets, and I'll just tell you, one of the biggest things that I deal with is looking at the stuff that I have and going, God, do you really want me to have that, or do you want me just to sell it and just, here you go. And we're not rich. But God has blessed us. And I struggle with that every day. I'm just telling you. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Cheerfully. Did you hear that? That's the second time that we've read in Scripture in the last couple of weekends something about being happy. You know, back in Psalm 51, we read something just a couple of weeks ago that showed us the joy of our salvation. Let me just tell you something. I'm not saying that, and Scripture's very clear, there's a time to mourn, there's a time to cry, there's all that kind of stuff. But generally, in your life, if you are not happy, that's a very good indication that you are not living the life that God wants you to live. You say, well, Chris, I'm trying to do what God wants me to do, but I'm very unhappy. Well, let me just tell you what. That's all you. You've heard the saying, somebody deals you lemons, you make lemonade. And I can introduce you to people all in this room that have made lemonade. Aren't those things wonderful? You see, whatever we get dealt, whatever we do with that, for that moment in time, God is looking at us and he's watching us and he's waiting to see, and this is all over Scripture and just half the parables Jesus taught, seems like, that how many times do we see that God wants us to understand that he is waiting to watch and see if we are faithful with what he's given us. If we're faithful with it. You say, well, Chris, I don't have a lot. That's okay. Are you faithful with it? And you say, Chris, well, I have a lot. I can just be honest with you. I got a lot. We played the stock market. We did real good. We got a lot. Good. Are you faithful with it? See, this is not a are you rich or poor situation here. This is are you faithful with it situation here. That we're all in. What was happening in this passage of Scripture is the disciples were beginning to understand that they couldn't do everything. And we see in Scripture, we see where the disciples begin to take care of widows. And these widows that they're taking care of, they want to minister to these people. Their heart is to do what needs to be done. But what they figured out is that the ministry keeps growing and it keeps growing and growing. And then the next thing that they know, they don't have enough of them to take care of all the people that need to be taken care of. And I'll just be honest with you, one of the reasons that we have designed 24 the way that we have is so that it can grow smaller while it grows bigger. If you've ever found yourself going, well, you know, I didn't go to church for a couple weeks, nobody called. I wonder if anybody notices I'm not there. The only thing that can happen to keep that from happening is for you to engage with other believers. I've already told people this. A lot of you have heard me say this. It's to the point I ask people every once in a while, have you been coming because, you know, I'll think I haven't seen somebody for a little while, but it's gotten to the point that our church is large enough now that I don't know when somebody is not here. There's no way for me to know when, you know, everybody's here, everybody's not. There's just no way. You say, Chris, well, I don't know if I like that. Well, do you like being a part of a church that reaches people for Jesus Christ? Because I don't think I would like the other way. You see, the way this is designed is that you need community, and we are offering that through something called Home Teams. In fact, there's a sign-up thing back there. If you're interested in information about that, you'll get, I guarantee you, you'll get a phone call on it if you go back there and sign up sometime this week. My wife and I have just joined a home team. You say, well, Chris, you're the preacher. You've got a staff and, you know, all stuff. Look, we all need this. We all need time in Scripture. We all need time with people that will love us and care for us and pray for us. And hey, you got to eat, right? So that's good too. Amen. As I mentioned last week, one of the things that I often ask people is what are you passionate about? When they come to me and say, Chris, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. My immediate response is usually, what are you passionate about? Now, I grew up with the mentality of when somebody would ask that question, that you're supposed to ask them, what are you good at? And we studied last week in Scripture where we see that that's not always the best thing, because sometimes we rely on ourselves a little more than we need to be relying on God. And sometimes He's given us passions for things that we're no good at. Well, see, if you have a passion for something, even if you can't do that thing, you can be like the disciples were when this issue with the widows came up. And when this issue with the widows came up, they understood we've got to start delegating parts of the ministry. And so they did. And you may find yourself over a ministry one day, I don't know, just imagining here, asking you to dream a little bit with me. You may find yourself over a ministry one day, as hard as that may be for you to seem, to imagine or whatever, that you know nothing about, but you're passionate about it. You've got a passion for it. And what can happen is that God can use you to lead with that passion people that do know how to do that kind of work and do know how to do that kind of ministry. It's an amazing thing. And I think it's just one of those things that, you know, I don't think that we're willing to dream enough. You know the song Sweet Dreams? Anybody go through the 80s? You made it through the 80s? Raise your hand. If you made it through the 80s, you should know Sweet Dreams. If you didn't, you just didn't listen to the radio enough. Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree? Travel the world in the seven seas. Everybody's looking for something. And we're looking for something. And we would say, Chris, you know, I really want to dream a dream. I really do. I really want to imagine great things for my life. I really want to imagine what God could do through me. But the problem is that so many of us just stop right there, and we don't allow the dream to go any further than that. We eventually stop praying about it, and we stop talking to other believers about it. And what winds up happening is it becomes a pipe dream. And that's exactly where we leave it, is in a pipe. And we never let God do anything with it in our lives. God has you work somewhere with people that I may never meet. God has you in a home with family members of people that may never come to this church. There's a reason for that. The reason is God wants to use you in their lives. And I just kind of reveal something to you here this morning. I got really scared during my college years when I began to understand that I knew a lot of people. And I got scared because I realized that me knowing all these people meant that God wanted me to have some kind of impact on every one of their lives. And that's a big thing to carry. And number one, I got to the point that I understood, you know, that burden is not for me to carry. It's for me to be a part of being able to fulfill it. For me to say yes to God and let God carry that burden. But can I just tell you? I worked in the record business. I dreamed a dream of starting a hot rod shop one day. I worked on a farm. I could have done any of these things for a living. In fact, I left the record business for the ministry. And I just got to tell you, I don't ever regret that. There's not been a day in my life where I've said, I wish I hadn't gone this route. I wish I hadn't dreamed big, and I wish I hadn't imagined what God might want to do, and I wish I hadn't followed that. That's never happened for me. You say, well, Chris, that's because, you know, you were born into the ministry, and we know all about your dad, and, all this stuff. Listen, no, this is not a me thing. 24 Church is not a me thing. Any student ministry I've ever been a part of was never a me thing. It's a God thing. It's just a matter of people that are willing to just say, you know what, God, I'm going to go with you on this. I'm going to try it your way, and I want to see what happens. I'll put it all on the line. And can you imagine what that would be like for you in your life, your family, your friends? I began praying prayers a long time ago that God would be able to use me somehow in the lives of my friends, my close friends that I grew up with. This is my home. This is where I'm from. That's why we started the church here. Now, my style of ministry would lean itself and probably lend itself probably to being more of a metropolitan type of thing. What we do here looks like something that should be in downtown Nashville. And I realized that, and I understood that, and I realized, that my gifts might lend itself to being more successful in an area like that or whatever. And I just really came to grips with God and said, God, I've prayed this prayer. You're giving me an opportunity, and it just seems too obvious to me that we're supposed to plant this church here. Many of you have heard a lot about that, and many of you have heard me say that I know that our strengths would lend us to doing the metropolitan thing, and at some point, I think that we will. I don't think we will, I know we will. And I've even talked to people about where we'll meet down there. And we'll never give up a location in Pleasant View, and this will always be home, but eventually we will have services in downtown Nashville as well, because God has gifted us to be able to do that. And a lot of people would just say, well, can't we just be satisfied with this? Can you be satisfied when it comes to pursuing something that is about God's kingdom? Can you be? I don't think so. The thing is for those types of things to ever happen, for us to minister to 300 plus people each weekend coming next month, people have got to be a part of the body. Coming and sitting here is not enough. And I just want to say with you in all the love in my heart that you will never grow to the potential of who God wants you to be until you are a part of serving Him for His kingdom. There's a passage in Colossians, and it's in chapter 3, verse 23 and 24, and I just want to share this with you. I think this is so worthy of our time right here. And it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. And that's where I'm coming with this today. And I just want you to hear me today that this is not your pastor standing here saying, hey, you need to do something for the church. No, you don't need to do anything for the church. And you don't need to do anything for me. And I know that a lot of times people in the kindness of their heart think that that's what they need to do. That's not it. We serve for the sake of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. And let me just tell you what's going to happen. I want to predict a little future for some of you in here. Some of you are going to say yes to this. Some of you are going to say, you know what? I'm down with this. I'm ready to begin imagining the world with me as a real follower of Christ. I'm ready to imagine that. I'm ready to start that journey. I'm ready to begin doing whatever that is, seeking after how God could use my passions, my gifts, whatever it might be, to further the kingdom. By the way, it's not always passions and gifts that we wind up using at first, because sometimes God wants to see if we're just faithful. And I feel that way a lot of Saturday nights when I'm here. I'll just go ahead and tell you. Because I'd rather be at home studying for what I'm going to do with you on Sunday morning. But God has said, Krista, you do this until you're in the building. And this is what you do to get to do my work. And so that's what I do. But the thing for us to get this morning is that if we can imagine and go after what God would want for us, here's the prediction. Satan is going to attack you. Sign me up for that one. Man, I want some of that. Will Satan please attack me? Come on. I want some of that. Throw some rocks over here. I love getting hit in the face with rocks. But you see, Satan doesn't have to throw rocks at people that are not producing for the kingdom. He does not bother. We are doing his will when we are not doing God's will. And we have said yes to him. Hey, I just like it over here because it's nice and easy and not so dangerous. But when we follow after God, and we say, God, I'm going to do what you want me to do, there's going to be moments of discouragement. There's going to be Saturday nights when you're setting up and you're thinking, this is not what I'm supposed to do. I'm not passionate about this. I don't care anything about dust mopping or unloading a trailer. And Satan is hurling things at us at those points in time, because we understand that according to this passage of Scripture, that whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And so we know the importance of giving God our best. And I just want you to know, as your pastor, and this really shouldn't matter, but I feel like I get to speak, so I'm going to go ahead and say it. I can't tell you how much it means to me personally, for those of you that do give your time. I know that you probably don't get a lot of thank yous, a lot of you, that come here and do things, hang out with our kids on Sunday morning, you're here on Saturday nights, the little stuff, working at that building when we're able to do that. It does mean a lot to me. It means a lot to so many of us. And let me just say thank you on behalf of all those people. And let me just encourage you by saying this. Satan is going to throw rocks at you as long as you are trying to do God's will. And so you've got to decide today, do I want to get into that spot for the rest of my life? Do I want to be in that spot for the rest of my life where I know that Satan is going to throw things at me constantly? Is that what I want? Is it worth it? And I'm here today to tell you that it's worth every minute of it. It's worth every minute. Imagine this world with you. Imagine this world with you. Tomorrow night, we're actually having a, well, don't tell me this wasn't timed right. Tomorrow night, we're having an opportunity for people that are interested in volunteering, or if you already volunteer, an opportunity for you to get to come, and we're going to just spend some time talking and praying and discussing some stuff with our volunteer ministries. It's going to be at Jolton First Baptist. The information's in the worship guide. You can check that out. I'll be there. It'll be good. All of our team leaders are going to have just a chance to say a quick something. I'm picking out theme music for each one of them, by the way, so you won't want to miss at least that part, because that'll be good, I promise. But let me just encourage you to do this. Just pray about this. Just pray about this. Pray about what your part is here. Pray about the part that you play in this body of believers. And let me just say this. This may not be your church home, or maybe you're just visiting, hanging out at 24, whatever, and you're not sure if this is going to be your church home. Let me say this. If this is not going to be your church home, that's fine. But you need to find a church home. You need to find a place that teaches God's word legit, and not some, you know, name it, claim it, you know, you get rich if you follow God thing. Just straight up God's word. You need to be a part of a Bible-believing church with people that will love you and have an opportunity for you to love others in it. And that's just it. Wherever it is, you need to be a part of that body. Don't let Satan sell you on, oh, no, you've done your part already, or, you know, oh, you know, you served earlier on in life. There's no retirement on this, okay? God never said, I'm going to be done with you. When he's done with you, he'll kill you, okay? Does that make sense? That should. It really should. When God's done with you, he'll kill you. Just telling you, because he's in charge. We don't call it that a lot of times, but that's pretty much what it is. If he didn't want you to die, you wouldn't be dead. Next weekend, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity to serve our community. This is one of those things that I really expected more people to call us crazy last time we did this, last year when we did this, than what we did. And actually, everybody's like, man, this is great. I'm like, cool. We must be communicating something right. But next weekend is Super Bowl Sunday. Some of you in here are like, I don't care about Super Bowl Sunday. Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't care that much about Super Bowl Sunday. I did grow up with the Bears. So Walter Payton, of course, you know, none of those guys play anymore. But hey, here's what we do on Super Bowl Sunday. We take Super Bowl Sunday and we turn it and use it as an opportunity to reach people for Christ. Many of you didn't know that you could do that. Last year, here's what we did, and this is what we're doing this year. We basically don't have Sunday morning services on Super Bowl Sunday. Can you do that? Yes, you can. And we do. But here's what we do. We basically will watch the game together in here, have chili cook-off, have wings, all this crazy stuff that's going to be going on. And at halftime, we will have a service. And it'll be pretty brief because, you know, you can't fit a usual service in halftime. I don't think you can anyway. And we'll teach a very simple message of the gospel. Now, many of you in here already know the gospel. You'll hear this message next weekend, and you'll go, Chris, that was so simple. I could have done that. Maybe you should. I'm stepping on toes. I'm sorry. But here's the deal. This is your opportunity to maybe invite somebody that wouldn't normally go to church. You don't have to tell them there's a service at halftime. I mean, do they really want to watch Prince? I love Prince to an extent, but not a whole halftime show. Come on. It's not 1999 anymore anyway. So here's what's going down. You just tell your friends, we're having chili. They're bringing in Buffalo Wild Wings. We're going to hang out, have a good time. I think we're supposed to bring, church people are supposed to bring like a 2-liter or a bag of chips to just kind of help out. If you're not one of our folks, don't worry about that. If you don't have any money, I don't care. Show up. Bring as many people as you can. Last year, we actually saw a couple of people come to Christ on Super Bowl Sunday. And anytime I would ever try anything that was kind of gutsy when it came to ministry stuff, it was usually because we was wanting to do it to try to reach somebody that we hadn't reached before. And I did this a lot in student ministry. We'd always have people say, I don't know, Chris, if you ought to do that. But you can never argue with people coming to Christ. Now, Chris, why are you making a big deal about this in your message? Well, number one, I talked about the volunteer thing tomorrow night because I want you to know about it, and I'm just putting something in front of you. We try not to just teach you something but give you opportunities to follow through and to help you with things when we teach things here at 24. But number two, next weekend is another one of those opportunities. It's just even like a one-time thing. You could sign up. If you want to try out a ministry, next weekend would be a great time to do that because most of our ministries will still be doing the same thing that they usually do, minus kids' church. But you could sign up just to do something and help out. We've got a sign-up sheet that's going to be on the info table back there when you're going out. We need people to greet. We need people to park. You say, Chris, how important is it really that we have people in the parking lot? Let me tell you how important it is. A couple weeks ago, I was told somebody invited somebody to come to church with them. They came to church by themselves, came from a pretty good little distance away, drove here in the parking lot, drove around. They saw our guys tried to help them find a spot and, you know, probably send them around the back, which is kind of what happens a lot of times these days. We don't have enough guys to staff back in the back to help people find spots back there. And so this person drove around, didn't really find a spot. And so they just went home. It's important. It's important for us to go the extra mile, to do everything our best. And some of you are sitting in here today, and you've got some of those things in you that's just like, man, I see candy wrappers on the floor, and I do this. Listen, every bit of that, the fact that you critique all of these little things, your misery is probably your ministry. And you're just not doing your ministry. You're just leaving it a critique. Use that for God. Use that for the kingdom of God. How incredible would that be? So next weekend, you've got an opportunity to do that. The doors open at 5. We're asking volunteers to be here at 4:15. It's going to be a blast. We're setting up this coming Saturday night at 6 o'clock. If you want, that's an opportunity. I'm just throwing stuff out as it just comes to me. Whatever. We need a lot of help in kids' ministries. I need somebody to go take care of my child while I'm doing this. One day I'm just not going to be in here because I'm going to go take care of my child. We're going to have too many kids in there. There's a lot of stuff that we've got to think about as a church, but we need all the parts of the body to do their thing. So I just ask you this morning to imagine the world with you. Let me pray for us. God, I pray, Lord, that every bit of this message would come across this morning, not as a guilt trip at all, God, but that, God, that it would be something, God, that you, not me, would speak to the hearts of people about. God, that you would help them to see and to understand the importance of us to fulfill who we are, not just for us, not just for the sake of us growing in you, but, God, for your kingdom to be furthered. God, for you to use us in amazing ways, God, just imagine what that would look like. God, help us imagine what that would look like. Help us to dream big for you and for your kingdom. God, may our love for you come out in everything that we do. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to worship you. In your name I pray.